Welcome to the fall 2020 semester and the first Senate meeting of the year. Somebody isn't muted, which is one of the joys about being online. You never know what's going to happen. I am pleased that you're all here. And I'm hoping that this is the beginning of a good semester, even though it will be a different semester. So I would like to start things off going through our information items. So the first item on the list is program modification in reading and language arts. Are there any questions about that particular modification? If you have a question, please raise your hand or put it in the chat. Okay, I'm not seeing anything, so I move on. We also have a program modification to the DPT program, changing their minimum grade prerequisite. Are there any questions about the doctor in physical therapy changes? Okay, seeing none. The forensic nursing program, they are altering their program delivery method to online. Are there any questions about this modification? Seeing none, we do have a short presentation on the general education out-of-state transfer program. And I believe Ann Hitt is going to say a few words explaining this.
Good afternoon, everyone. What this is a request to allow the Michigan Transfer Agreement, which is an agreement that Oakland has with all other community colleges in Michigan, to allow a certain gen ed component or program to come in as an intact unit when people are transferring. So it doesn't matter which community college someone comes from, they have got all of the components that were agreed to that should be in a general education program. So the idea here is to extend the same kind of benefit to students that are going to be from out of state that are transferring to Oakland. This will very much make us, it will speed the transition time. It will provide students with a firm knowledge of what courses they have left to take at Oakland, and make it easier for students. I think somebody's not muted. Anyhow, it should make things easier for students to know if Oakland is the place that they want to come to transfer to from out of state. So it's applying the same criteria to students coming from out of state that we already do for students that are in state. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions? All you need to do is unmute your mic or put something in the chat. Okay, I'm not seeing anything, so we'll go on. This is also Ann Hitt. This is the General Education Transfer Program, Michigan Program Closures. Ann?
So this is very similar to the MTA or to the out-of-state transfer program. The idea here is that in the future, it's possible that other institutions in Michigan will be closing, And this will provide the General Education Committee, the articulation coordinator, so the registrar's office, the ability to quickly to respond to students who are in a very unfortunate situation of their institution closing. So it's applying the same kind of logic to what courses that the students have taken so that we can easily tell them what their curriculum needs to be so they can complete their degree. This is not the same as a teach out. Teach out is different. That's governed by HLC. So this would be for students that may be at an institution where we do not have a teach out agreement with them, but it would provide them the knowledge of what courses are left in their degree plan. And I'd be happy to answer questions.
Are there any questions about this one? Okay, hearing none, I'll move on. If you have any questions about any of these items, I believe that the individuals responsible for them can provide additional information and would be happy to do so via email. Okay, moving on. Item two, under information, the Senate appointments. I would like to thank Mike Lacha for agreeing to be the Senate parliamentarian yet again this year. Mike is a great help, and I was commenting yesterday that it's really better when he's sitting next to you whispering what needs to happen, but I'm sure he'll find a way to communicate with me if I do something incorrectly. I would like to thank Dick Abervin, who I hope has been able to make it on to the meeting. Dick, are you here? Okay. Well, hopefully Dicka will be able to take minutes. If not, Cynthia, I hope you are. Dicka has been the Senate Secretary for a number of years now and has been the CAS Assembly Secretary for many years. And so I just like to thank her. It's not a easy lift trying to keep track of debates in the meetings, and she has done a really good job of that. And so I want to express my appreciation for that. The Elections Committee, right now we have two extreme members. We had one person step down, so we'll be replacing that individual here soon. But for now, the Senate Elections Committee is Jo Rieger. She's agreed to continue as chair of that committee. And Zena El-Saman, who is from SBA, who will be continuing in her position on that committee. And we owe them a debt of gratitude because they will be running the Senate elections after the first of the year. So they will learn all about Senate apportionment. And I know that they're looking forward to that. Okay. Provost updates. I have a few. The first thing I want to do is thank our entire community for the work that's been done since March and continued throughout the summer to somebody needs to mute their mic. So the work that has been done has been very intense, and that is true of the faculty who had to move their courses online, and not just on the spur of the moment in March, but do so for summer one, summer two, and also now the fall semester for many of them. I have appreciated all those efforts, and I know that our students do as well. I also want to specifically call out the Emergency Operations Committee that's met multiple times each week, working on reopening plans. I want to thank Classroom Support that spent a good bit of time this summer trying to figure out the optimal configuration of seats in classrooms to maximize the number of people who could safely sit in them. So Doug McCartney and his entire staff have done a great job. And I would add that the video support folks have been amazing in terms of creating videos at basically a nonstop rate. It has been a big effort. I also would say all the departments and the faculty, your work to redo the schedule and figure out what the best way forward was to get trained in teaching and quality online teaching, I know has been a big lift. Thank you very much. The research office has been working with researchers this summer, trying to get them back in the lab, in our funded labs, and we really have appreciated the efforts there. Finance and administration, who's helped us with the CARES Act, trying to get funding to purchase the things we need to support our academic enterprise, both for the faculty, the students, the departments. And I also, I'm sure there are people I'm forgetting, but this has been a university-wide effort. There is not a single office on campus, a single employee on campus, a single student on campus that hasn't been affected in some way. And I would like, you know, just say that, for example, Student Congress has been organizing regular open forums for the students and hosting those and inviting people like me to attend those open forums. I think it's been beneficial trying to keep those lines of communications open with the students themselves. So thank you so much for that work. And then the steering committee, it met all summer long. I mean, we canceled a few meetings, but we met more often than we didn't. And they have been a rock and have provided good advice and good conversation throughout the summer. So thank you for that. And it's a great group, and I've really appreciated their work. So that's my thank yous to everyone. So just for some updates, you may have noticed if you're coming to campus that the P2 parking lot between Wilson Hall, I'm saying here, I'm sitting in my office, Wilson Hall and the Oakland Center is now blocked off in preparation for the expansion of Wilson Hall and the renovation that will follow. That work, the construction trailer should show up here in a week or so. So things are about to get real there. We are beginning the process of our planning for the Varner Hall renovation. That is just at the beginning stages, so that you won't see any actual activity on that before late next summer. Work has begun to a minimal update to Fitzgerald Hall and the second floor of Annable. And the purpose of that update is just to provide some swing space for the Varner renovation. So those are minimal investments, but necessary to transition those spaces for occupancy. South Foundation is still on hold. We're waiting to hear from the state. We believe that if funding is going to come, it will likely come during lame duck. That will be happening after the election in November. So we'll keep you posted on that. So I think those are the big ones. I also want to, we had a couple of new deans join us this summer. Brandy Randall has joined us as the dean of the graduate school, and Brandy comes from North Dakota and the University of North Dakota, and actually is on her way here. She's been working mostly remotely for the last month or so. And also, I would like to welcome Polly Borath-Jones. She is the new dean of the University Libraries. Polly came to us from Indiana University Kokomo and has dove right in to the reopening of the library and has been here now for a couple of months. And I'm really enjoying working with both of them. And I'm sure that you will enjoy having the opportunity to meet them. Please do take a moment to reach out, because you can imagine it's got to be a little disconcerting moving to a new institution where none of your colleagues really are. I also want to let you know that the provost search should be wrapping up soon. The CAS Dean search has been restarted, and they are beginning, that committee will be reviewing candidates in the next couple of weeks. So they had a pool of candidates before we had to evacuate campus in March. But we did hold on that for a bit to give us some time to get our feet under ourselves. So I'm glad to say that most of the candidates that were in the pool remained active and will be moving forward. I've been asked a number of times about enrollment, because that, obviously that has been a concern. We are down this year, but not as much as actually we thought we might be. So that's the good news. We're down, the last numbers I have show us down about 1.7% in enrollment and in terms of headcount, and 1.9% in credit hours. Grad is up a little bit. Returning students were up a little bit. Where we're down is in freshmen. And that is a concern. And I can also tell you that looking forward, that the community colleges are down, so that also means that transfers are going to be hard to get probably over the next couple of years. So I know we spend a lot of time on enrollment, but that's because our enrollment is so important to our budget and our ability to do what we do. And I want to thank everyone for the work that we've done, that they've done, because with the returning students coming back at a higher than expected rate, that's really helped us this year. And we should be looking to try to retain our students whenever we can. I have a request that you take attendance in your classes in some ways. This is for the faculty. If you would share that with your colleagues, Moodle is one way you can do that. Ask the students to log into Moodle while they're in your class or during one of your class sessions. We need to know if a student has never attended. What we're trying to determine are students who maybe applied, registered back in January, March, I guess it would be March, and just forgot that they enrolled, and so that we can get them out so that they don't have a bill that they shouldn't be paying. So it helps them not go to collections, and that's a good thing. I wanted to update you on a couple of things we're doing in academic affairs this year for the strategic plan. We have several initiatives going. We're going to try to focus effort this year. In student success, we have a degree mapping project that's being led by Kristen Landis-Pivovar and Ann Hitt. We're really hoping that this effort will allow us to see clearly what students, the pathways are for students. This will help them. Might provide us some information where maybe we're causing problems for our students. But at the end of this project, what we're really hoping to do is identify majors where there are commonalities, and we can define what sometimes are called meta majors, where that will allow students who are early in their programs change major a little more easily, have a landing spot if they're realizing that a major is not for them, or that they just, they're not going to make it in that major. So I'm looking forward to see what happens with that. And if you have, we'll do something once we have a few of these maps done. We'll bring a couple and show you what they look like, and hopefully You'll find it interesting. And if you're approached for a little assistance with this project, I hope you'll be free with your time. In research, we're trying to purchase a building to address the severe shortage we have currently in laboratory space and also in terms of office space. So that we have made progress on that, and I hope to be able to update you either at the next meeting or a future meeting. We also have in diversity, equity, and inclusion, we're expanding the diversity advocate program to staff. But we're also trying to continue to expand it under our training and diversity advocates under the leadership of our new provost fellow, Joni Lipson-Free. We have a second diversity fellow, provost fellow this year, Jason Wasserman from the School of Medicine, who will be working on a project to examine our promotion and tenure documents using a lens of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So Jason will be reaching out to different departments over the course of the semester to engage in conversations about different aspects of the promotion and tenure documents for departments. I haven't really forgotten community engagement. There are some exciting developments I hope to be able to share soon, but I'll keep you posted on that. The other piece of information that I know has been of great interest on campus is Zoom. Zoom is coming probably in the next couple of weeks. I hear that the progress of integrating it into Moodle has been going very well. I've seen some of the documentation, so hopefully you'll be seeing that pop up as one of your options in the very near future. And we appreciate the patience of the community while we got that work done. So I'm excited about that, and we'll keep you posted. So with that, I think that's the end of my updates. We can move to roll call. Were we able to do roll call just by looking at who's attending? Dicka made it. Yeah, now she doesn't know how to unmute, I think. Dicka, it's the microphone next to your name. I'm going to trust that she could do what she was able to do last time, but I do need to know whether or not we have a quorum. Cynthia, can you see whether we have a...
Excuse me, I'm here now.
We have a quorum, Michelle.
Yes, and Michelle, I'm here now. I'm very sorry about the delay. I was having trouble getting into this meeting and getting up and running, but everybody has been accounted for. So we have a quorum.
All right. Thank you very much to you and to Ron. Thank you.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's quite all right. It happens. It's a little tricky, and you know, but we've plowed through. That's okay. We have no old business that carried over from last year, so we do have new business. We have a motion from the steering committee to create a task force on classroom use and scheduling, and I'd like to invite Tricia Westergaard to provide some background.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm really happy to be here. Hopefully, everybody, I think you can hear me. Good. Thank you. So I have put together a proposal for you. In 2006, the Senate Task Force on Classroom Use and Scheduling created a final report, and they looked at efficient use of classroom space on campus, and that is what has created our current time modules. 14 years later, I will be so bold to say that I don't think the existing time modules alone meet all of the teaching needs of the faculty. And so what I have asked is that it's time to bring this group back together and that Senate create a task force on classroom use and scheduling. I think that a lot of our existing time modules do work, but we still have a number of programs where the existing time modules don't really fit. And I don't think that they're intended to be out of module, but the reality is it's just not modernized. I think we also have the opportunity with more hybrid, with more flexible learning that we have suddenly found ourselves into, to incorporate that as a structured part of our time module. This is coming directly out of faculty chairs meetings I've attended over the last year. I have had a numerous amount of faculty chairs asking for enforcement of the time module and to look at the time modules. And so I thought this was the perfect time for us to come together and start planning for the future. I've put in, you know, the work that the committee would do, so the committee charge and the goals of the committee, really to take a look and add to the robust offerings that we have. And of course, I want to see that we have a lot of different programs at the table to meet all of the different needs. So that is pretty much the summary of what we would like to do. If I'll be happy to take any questions from anybody. Hopefully you're as excited about this as I am. I love time modules.
The first thing I probably need to do is ask for the motion to be made.
That would be me. Just moved my window. Okay. Motion from the steering committee to create a Senate task force on classroom use and scheduling.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Thank you. Now, if anybody has questions, please go ahead and the advantage of the fact that Tricia is here.
Michelle?
Yes.
Would the people who made the motions please identify themselves?
Sorry, this is Julia. I made the motion.
Okay, thank you.
Tom DeSena seconded.
That's just for the record. Okay.
Does anyone have any questions? All right, this is the first reading. So I appreciate the work you're doing, Tricia, and we'll be back at the next meeting. I hear there's a question.
Seeing that there's no discussion and this topic seems pretty sensitive, this is Michelle Southward. Can I possibly make a motion that we waive the second reading of this particular topic to move the committee forward?
Is there a second?
Yeah, this is Deb Doherty. I second it.
All right. Is there any discussion? Somebody asked, and I didn't see where it is, but who is on this committee and how many faculty will be on it? Tricia?
Yes. So we have, from a starting point, we definitely want to have a cross representation from every school and the college. And we have sort of a two-prong approach. We will have a combination of faculty and associate deans so that everybody's represented. And then I also have a list of suggested faculty as a consultative group. So we'll have an even wider, broader group, focusing mostly on the faculty and then any other associate deans that aren't in the steering group. So what we had decided is if this was acceptable, we would move forward and we would make sure that we had representation from every school in the college and work on the actual representation in the coming weeks.
Okay. Are there comments or any questions or discussion around the motion to waive the second reading? Okay. There's a question about how large the committee will be.
So my intention would be that the steering portion of it would be nine individuals in total, with the additional consultative group would be as large as we needed and as large as the participation would allow so that we had enough representation.
And Tricia, and I think just to clarify for people that this will be, that committee will be affirmed by the Senate.
Yes.
At its next meeting.
That is correct. And we would also, obviously, the recommendations that this task force would also bring back to the Senate for approval. It would be doing the groundwork and best practice work and putting together a recommendation, but ultimately it would come back to the floor of the Senate for approval.
Thank you. Are there additional questions or comments? I am hearing that adding a department chair might be a good idea, and I think that is the intention. It really kind of needs to be people who have some experience with scheduling, I think.
Yes.
Tricia?
Yes, we absolutely, either the scenarios would be a current chair, maybe somebody who was a most recent past chair that had several years. I would really like to see a newer chair, so somebody that may be less familiar. We have programs where we know that the courses aren't in the existing module structure. We would like representation from those areas specifically so that we can incorporate. I think that's what makes the somewhat complex, because we don't want to align all of the chairs and associate deans from the same area. We want to make sure we have a full round of representation. So,
okay. Any other questions? We're really at this point talking about the motion to waive second reading. We can come back to discussions on the main motion in a moment. Are there any questions or comments about the second reading? Or waiving the second reading, excuse me. Okay, I'm not seeing any, so I think we can move to a vote. To vote, you're going to click, if you agree with the vote, if you want to say yes, you're going to click the green check mark. And if you want to say no to the motion, you click the red X that's up on the screen just so that it can help you. And we'll move to a vote now.
Michelle, I have 47 yes, 2 no.
Okay. Motion carries. Thank you, Kate. I'm sorry?
Michelle?
Yes. Yes?
Michelle.
Yes, Sander. Oh, I'm sorry. Stephanie is talking to me from the other room. It takes a village to hold a meeting. I just want to remind everyone to take off your check marks. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Xander. All right, we're back to the main motion. Is there any further discussion? All right, I'm not seeing anyone or hearing anyone, so we'll go ahead and vote. Same process. All in favor, green check mark. All opposed, red X.
I have 46 yes, 0 no.
All right, motion carries. Thank you very much. So we will be back next month with a committee membership for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, the next item is a procedural motion to staff Senate committees. Is there a motion?
This is Dan Alloy. I move that the persons listed be appointed to the committees or positions designated.
Thank you, Dan. Is there a second?
This is Gwen Aaron Miller. Myers. I second.
All right. Thank you very much. Is there any discussion? Okay, all in favor, same process.
I have 44 yes, 0 no.
All right, motion carries. Thank you very much. So now we're to good and welfare. Does anyone have items for good and welfare? I'll give one. I want to make sure that everyone knows how to access the Senate committee, the Senate materials in advance. There are two ways to do that. You can go directly to eSpace and look for the Oakland University Senate in your list of courses. Or you can go to the Senate website at oakland.edu/senate, and on the homepage for the Senate, in the upper right hand corner is current meeting materials. If you click on that, it'll take you right to the eSpace login, and you'll be in the Senate materials for the meeting. So either way works. And I also would like to say thank you to Cynthia Myrie, who has taken over my normal work on putting these meetings together. I know that it's not easy, and she's already been working hard. It's something you have to learn how to do. So thanks to Cynthia. Anybody else have anything? Anything going on out there that you want to tell us about, or something you want to address? All right, hearing nothing, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Suzanne. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
All right, I'll call that a meeting. Thank you all very much, and we will be back here in October. Thank you, and have a good afternoon.